superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let me see you put your hands up now.
With guest host, Ryan Leaf.
Been listening to you guys since day one. You guys are phenomenal.
Attaboy.
Just keep getting better like fine wine.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, NFL Network host Rachel Bonetta. Still to come, NBA.com writer Mark Medina. Plus, Rich Eisen checks in from the NFL Combine. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Ryan Leaf.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show. Ryan Leaf filling in for the big fella, Rich Eisen, who's in Indianapolis covering the NFL Combine for NFL Network. I'm joined, as always, with TJ Jefferson.
Hello.
Mr. Jason Feller and
hey.
Chris Brockman on the side here. Big NBA night last night. And I thought a perfect person for that would be NBA writer for NBA.com, Mr. Mark Medina, to join us and tell us all about it. Mark, how we doing?
I'm good. Good to chat with you.
Yeah, it's good to chat with you too. There's a run of games here. I'm almost calling it Hell Week for the Miami Heat. Right, it started with the Chicago Bulls. Last night, it went to the Milwaukee Bucks, and they had every opportunity to take the first two legs of this series before heading to New Jersey or the Nets tonight. The Brooklyn Nets, I called them, tonight, and Kevin Durant's return, and then the Philadelphia 76ers. But talk to us about the ending of that basketball game. 20 seconds to go. Tyler Hero has the ball and the lead, and they can't get it done in regulation.
Yeah, and it's really surprising that happened, because the Heat, they've had some ups and downs the last few years, but one of the calling cards is that they're always resilient, they're disciplined, they make smart decisions. And, that didn't happen. I'm scratching my head, because the reason why they're in, the top of the Eastern Conference is because they usually master those things.
I mean, speaking with Mark Medina from NBA.com, a four-game road trip like this, it's disappointing, yes, because they really could have stolen one in Milwaukee before heading to these next big games. But that kind of loss, maybe on this road trip, could that spiral into a devastating finish to this thing? Because these are the teams that they're going to have to vie for in the East if they're going to get to an NBA championship.
Yeah, I doubt it, only because I think the Heat are a resilient team. Look, I think that they very well could lose to Brooklyn tonight. They could lose to Philadelphia, but I would think that would have more to do with Kevin Durant coming back tonight. And Philadelphia, they've looked unstoppable ever since they've gotten James Harden. And that, so far, that pairing with Joel Embiid has been pretty much seamless. In fairness to Miami, before their loss to the Bucks, they were on a four-game winning streak. They had gone through a five-game winning streak before now to Dallas. So I think for the most part, they've been consistent. But I think to your broader point, the Eastern Conference is wide open here. And I would still give the edge to Philadelphia and Brooklyn, because they're the most talented teams on paper. There are recipes for them to be combustible because of health and chemistry question marks with the new rosters. But on talent itself, they have the edge. And so where Miami has to be consistent is relying on that Heat culture. And I know that people outside of Miami roll their eyes, but it is a real thing that they've been able to be on top of the Eastern Conference, not only because of having Jimmy Butler and and Kyle Lowry, but, you know, they have a really good infrastructure from top to bottom, and that's what they have to tap into if they want to get out of the East.
The Brooklyn Nets, like you mentioned, bring back Kevin Durant tonight after being away for a bunch of games. His reemergence, what kind of difference, and it shockingly enough, it's a pretty easy answer to this, but what do you think his impact's going to be initially coming back to this team?
Yeah, I think it's going to be immediate. The intriguing and comforting thing for the Nets with Kevin Durant is that, you know, look, he's obviously had a lot of injuries these last few years and coming off the Achilles, but when he's been on the floor, his numbers are actually better than his pre-injury with his Achilles. And so as long as he's there, you know, I think they're the favorites to come out of the East. I think the question mark moving forward is, can he sustain a clean bill of health long term? As well as, you know, what's Kyrie Irving's status going to be? You know, there is this gray area now where, you know, New York has talked about lowering its mandate, but
right.
There are some stipulations that doesn't necessarily apply to workers in New York. So it remains to be seen when Kyrie can play in home games, but if Kevin Durant at least is available, they're going to, you know, still be the best team in the East. But that's been, you know, an uncertainty this season because he has missed so many games.
Yeah, I mean, 32-31 as of right now, right? In the eighth position, right?
Yeah.
We'll see what the backstretch of the season can look like for him and whether they get into a place where they don't have to play in that play-in tournament, because when you bring it down to one game, you know, we talked about the Lakers last year. If they got in and it was a one-game type of deal, you never know what's going to happen in one game. You could have a bad shooting night, you could have all this, and you'd be out of the conversation.
Yeah, and that's the blessing and the curse that the Nets have right now. They're very top-heavy, so Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving can camouflage all their issues, but if one or two of them are out, like, they don't really have a lot of good depth. I know they have some decent players, but I don't think it's collectively enough to win games consistently. You know, you mentioned the Lakers. I think specifically in this season, it's a little bit different where, okay, you still follow the old adage, you don't bet against LeBron James, but as he has still been playing his absolute best in his 19th season at 37, that hasn't been enough for the Lakers still to win games even when he's on the floor. So I think the Nets are in a different position than the Lakers, but it's still this high risk, high reward that, yeah, they have the path to get to the NBA Finals, but they also could lose in the play-in tournament if injuries strike to Kevin Durant at the worst possible time.
Yeah, it's what made that play-in tournament so interesting ever since the bubble a few years back. Okay, the Philly trade, right? The big trade that was made for James Harden, finally sending Ben Simmons along to the Nets. We've seen three games now, one back at home. Last night, the 26 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. You know, everybody else contributed. They dominated the Knicks once again. I mean, what do you say three games in? It's been against the likes of the Timberwolves and the Knicks, but how much is that playing into this and how quickly the success has looked early on?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you look at both parts with Brooklyn and Philly, I think it was win-win for both. I think in Philadelphia's case, you know, I know that they had to give up a lot to get James Harden, and you don't want to underrate some of the depth that they sacrificed with having a really good shooter in Seth Curry, at least having another big in Andre Drummond that can, you know, relieve Joel Embiid if he gets into foul trouble. But the reality is they were in a position of some weakness where Ben Simmons wasn't going to be playing at all this season. Like, he just made it clear he was never going to play in a Sixers uniform. So just by virtue of the fact that they have now an all-star on the floor who's available and one who's really good in James Harden, shows that, yeah, this is going to work out. Now, I think when you look at James Harden historically, though, he is really good in the honeymoon period. He does the right things. But there are question marks of two things. How much long-term would he be willing to deal with whatever sacrifices with Joel Embiid? He's had a checkered past with playing with other star teammates with doing that. And then I think the other thing is the health. He has struggled with injuries the last two seasons. And even if he is playing really well or doing the right things now in Philadelphia, that's another concern, that health could take a turn for the worse for him. And so I think that all illustrates the point that I was making earlier with Brooklyn and Philadelphia, that it's very high risk, high reward. So I think from a chemistry standpoint this season, there aren't going to be any issues. Maybe there are next season, but the health part is something that's an unknown.
Yeah, well, it always is. You never quite know, especially when you're playing the basketball position or game. Two more questions around Philly. I mean, when the trade was made, I mean, there was a lot of jokes made around James Harden, who has never been able to finish a playoff series, and the head coach, who's been in scenarios where they've been up 3-1, and these were two guys that have both been exactly what you don't want in when you get to playoff time, and now they're a part of it. Do they cancel each other out, or is this a real concern around either one of these guys not being able to get it done come crunch time?
Yeah, I think generally for both guys, there's a lot more extenuating circumstances that explain the shortcomings, but I attach that narrative more to James Harden than to Doc Rivers. I think in fairness to James Harden, you know, them losing to the Warriors, look, they were a dynasty team, and they were the team with the Houston Rockets that were most successful at leaving the Warriors vulnerable when they had Kevin Durant along with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. But I think there is something to be said with, you know, James being able to know how to coexist with teammates. And then I think, and this ties to the health standpoint, he has a track record of wearing down the postseason because his workload is so heavy in the regular season. Part of that's been by design because, you know, those teams that he's played for needs James Harden to play his absolute best. But it's also, I think, a reflection of him, you know, not willing to make those necessary adjustments. I think in Doc Rivers' case, look, he's not blameless, specifically when the Clippers blew that 3-1 series lead in the bubble, but I think a lot of it had to do with historically either injuries with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin coming up at the worst possible time, or in this case with his last season with the Clippers, you know, personality is not meshing and, you know, specifically Paul George not playing well. Not to say he's blameless, but in the pie chart, I would put him maybe third, fourth, where when you're looking at James and the reason for his shortcomings, you know, his own shortcomings would be at the top of the list for that.
We're speaking with Mark Medina, NBA writer from NBA.com. We'll get you out of here on this question. I think a very welcome surprise to this trade, where you ultimately thought with James Harden coming in, there'd be less opportunities for Tyrese Maxey. But he's exploded, right? He has really taken advantage of this and has been a big part of utilizing the opportunity with this trade.
Yeah, and I think that this is a reflection of his growth. You know, he's been really, you know, helping the Sixers there, and it also shows why they were validated in being beholden to, hey, we're not going to deal Tyrese Maxey in these Ben Simmons, James Harden negotiations. At the 11th hour, you know, the Nets were trying to get him. You know, thankfully the Sixers held firm on that. They did have to give up, you know, other sources of depth, as I mentioned, with Seth Curry and Andre Drummond. But, you know, Tyrese Maxey is the real deal, and I think the sky's the limit for him.
Well, the Warriors seemingly are heading down a different path from how they've played and started this season. Is there any worry out West right now about the Warriors and their championship dreams and goals?
I don't think internally there is. You know, look, they've been missing Draymond Green for an extended period of time. I think that they would be worried if they got any sense that Draymond Green wasn't going to be coming back for the rest of the season in the playoffs. He's obviously been such a game changer on the defensive end for many years now, and while the Warriors were able to sustain his absence for at least the first few games, you know, it wound up catching up to them. But there is optimism that his return's pretty imminent. And I think the other potential source of weakness is that they don't have a lot of size. You know, Kevon Looney's fine, but he's a role player. And James Wiseman, it remains to be seen when he'll return. And he had an up-and-down rookie season. So when you talk to people around the league, some people give the Phoenix Suns the edge because they have that size advantage with having DeAndre Ayton and having a really good backup in JaVale McGee. But internally, so long as Draymond Green is back, the Warriors are optimistic because they can plug Draymond at center, and they feel like they're really skilled enough with their small lineups that it won't even matter, because they have not only, you know, the obvious answers with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, but they have a really good blend of young and veteran players that can play and offensively and defensively at multiple positions, that won't wind up catching up to them. But you know what? We'll wait and see. The Suns are the real deal. They're very well balanced. So it should be a fun playoff matchup, presumably in the West Finals.
Yeah, that would be something. It'd be fun to watch Chris Paul against that team once again. All right, Mark, thanks for taking time and joining us and educating us about everything that's going on in the NBA right now.
Hey, thanks so much for having fun talking hoops with you.
Yeah, you too. Mark Medina, everybody, NBA insider and writer for NBA.com. Very interesting stuff around the trade for Philadelphia. And what I thought was incredibly beneficial for me yesterday, guys, was I sat here after the show and listened to your guys' Rich Eisen NBA podcast.
The Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast.
Which you can find on Westwood One.
Now available on Spotify and Apple and where you get all your podcasts and YouTube.
There, it was a perfect opportunity for promotion there. It was beneficial to me to listen, and then of course watch the games last night and dive into it. The Tyrese Maxey one I thought was very interesting. And this is more historical than it is current right now in terms of players. He reminds me of the individual that, let's say, like Michael Thompson, who was with the Spurs for a long time and all the pressure was on him. He comes to LA and he's with Magic and he's with Kareem and he's with Worthy. And he really doesn't have to worry about anything. You know, he's not going to get the scrutiny as much, right? The spotlight's not on him. He can just go out and have a lot of fun and play. Reminds me a lot of Robert Horry, too, playing for those great teams. You know, he had to make clutch big shots, don't get me wrong, and he did. But this is a real opportunity for Maxey to kind of step up, and he has initially in these first three games, where I think a lot of people thought he was going to miss the ball in his hands. Instead, like, he's attacking, like closeouts, boom, he's going by him, he's making plays. He's been really aggressive having this trade come down. He hasn't blinked once so far, and I think that's going to benefit this team. I did like Mark's point around the depth, right? The size, the shooting quality of Curry, all of those things. What happens then, when? Matisse Thybulle is going to have to be a big part of this, right? His defensive prowess is going to have to ratchet it up against the best player in every series playoffs. Which he does. He does. I watched him closely at the University of Washington. He was incredibly good, and it's been fun to see him mature and grow into that role in Philadelphia. But I really think you talk about Harden and Embiid, but Maxey may be the ultimate, you know, final thing to drop here for this team getting over the top in the East.
Yeah, and TJ, you can speak to this more as a Sixers fan, but we mentioned it on the pod yesterday. James Harden's going to get all these guys now wide open shots,
yeah,
because he's going to draw so much attention as he has in his career on the outside or driving into the lane, getting to the free throw line, which he's so good at. Like Joel Embiid said it after the first game, he's never been so open in his life. Mm-hmm. And you see with Maxey, especially last night, getting the ball in the wing, attacking the rim, and making an open three when he has to. I mean, you just must be so excited watching these first three games.
Absolutely. And you and I spoke about this before the show started. You know, a lot of shows were talking after two games, they were wondering about Tobias Harris. Even this morning, people were wondering, yeah, Tobias Harris is averaging 18-7 a game, right? And now with Maxey playing... you said this earlier. Sixers only need those guys to maybe get 30 points between the two of them every
combined,
game. And that should be a given, right? You got Embiid and Harden who can get you 30 a night on any given night. The team plays defense. I don't want to get too hyped about it. I feel good watching them right now. But again, we've played the Knicks twice.
Yeah, right. Played the Knicks twice. We're going nowhere this season.
But isn't that
kind
part
of
it?
Young Timberwolves.
Isn't that
team.
Part of it though? You got to win the games that you're supposed to win.
Absolutely. Well, hey,
you know, and
we get a real shot in a couple nights when the Heat come to town. Right?
They have an interesting tough. I think a 5-game stretch coming up, so it's really going to show improvement.
There's something to be said about the regular season. Don't get me wrong, right? I think back to my days of following the NBA closely in the 90s, right, with the Houston Rockets, and you know all they needed to do with Olajuwon and that crew was get into the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. Just get in and go. I look and see the Brooklyn Nets the same way. Just, you know, find a way to get into the tournament. They make their run. They do their thing. Regular season is one thing. The Suns are 50-12 right now. They didn't get it done last year in the championship game. Well, let's see what they can do this year. We'll find out. It's been fun talking about the NBA. I don't get a lot of opportunities to do it.
Ryan, now that we know that you are, you know, Vince Carter-esque, you know, making backboard shatter, you know, we should talk more NBA.
There is a great story around Vince Carter, right? Vince and I were at a, I think it was a Make-A-Wish event down in Orlando, Florida, and there was a dunk contest. There's a dunk contest, and a bunch of us guys that weren't NBA guys went out to do the dunk contest, and Vince and Clyde Drexler was there too, and
Clyde.
And they were helping us and showing us what dunks to do, and I'm just like looking at Vince and just like in awe of this man, right? He had this velour Nike sweatshirit and it had his logo on it. It was a V with a C kind of in it, and it was right here. And I just loved it. And I had my Nike deal with the sponsorship. So I immediately went to my catalog and I found that velour sweatshirt. And I got one. I got one in like double XL. Just it's like mesh on the inside and then the soft velvety thing on the outside. And guess what? I still have it.
You do? Yeah.
It hangs on my...
Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Hanger leaving the bedroom. And it, because I put it on in the mornings a ton, especially when I'm doing early morning radio and down in the cold studio. And I put it on, I've had it for, what was that, 1999, 1998?
Wow.
23 years. That's and amazing. It's still great shape. So Nike, you know, good on you. But Vince Carter, man, come on. You made probably maybe the best hoodie that I've ever had. Okay. So good for you, my friend.
That's what's up.
That's what's up. All right. Every golf equipment company claims to be longer off the tee, right? But Callaway's new Rogue ST driver is the only one built to completely bomb it. It's been speed tuned to Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, which gives you more speed off center with off center hits and provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. But that's just the beginning because Callaway has engineered a Rogue ST for every player. That's for you, Brockman.
I need it.
Most golfers will fit into the Max because of its incredible combination of distance and forgiveness, but there's also a Max D. Their dedicated draw model for players who need more shot shape correction. That's what I need. I cannot stop slicing it. I need that shot shape correction. Now, if you need something more low spin, there's Max LS, which gives you stronger trajectory, with a more neutral ball flight. But for the true players out there, the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS is the compact, low-spin head that the tour players love. Callaway has thought through every aspect of speed, so all you have to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. We'll be right back here on The Rich Eisen Show. Welcome back, everybody, to The Rich Eisen Show. Ryan Leaf here, filling in for Rich today. He's in Indy. We'll be joining us live from Indianapolis here at top of the hour. Talk about all things combine related. Joined as always by TJ Jefferson.
What up, though?
Jason Feller on the ones and twos.
Hey, what's up?
Chris Brockman educating me fully on the NBA.
It was just him
today. I think I was blocking you out for whatever.
Okay, gotcha.
I tried on the way into work today, guys, to listen to NBA radio, and for the first 15 minutes. It was them just talking about nonsense. And I was just like, I need you right now. You don't understand. I'm going to host a three-hour show. We're going to talk about it. I need you right now to talk about some things that can, you know, educate me.
Well, had you not blocked me out during our pod yesterday.
My bad. Like, again, flawed human being.
And we didn't even get to talk with Mark about what John Morant's been doing the last few weeks.
There was a conversation there today about the MVP talk and John Morant's name being brought up. The one thing that the biggest takeaway for that for me has been that his team went 12-2 without him. I mean, could you give somebody the MVP if the team while you're gone wins are 10 games over 500?
Yeah, no, we talked about that earlier in the season, right? Yeah, it's hard to have a knock on somebody for right?
Like, it's hard to, but I mean, like Michael Jordan isn't a part of the 96 Bulls. We saw what happened the next couple of years. They go to the playoffs, but they're not championship worthy, right?
Well, see, then
no one from that Bulls team was capable of winning the MVP, though. I would argue that Scottie Pippen was.
Right. It's like win three titles, I'm gone. They don't win. I'm back.
We went three more
titles. Yeah. It's.
I mean, he's the greatest.
Kind of indisputable.
Of all time. So I'm sorry for that comparison. All right. Talking about the greatest, Tom Brady had a very memorable combine, right? We all remember the picture of Tom Brady at the combine standing up there.
In his boxers,
like all of us. Don't get me wrong. We were all in that place. That's why I called it a meat market earlier, right? You're trotted up in your underwear, everybody to poke and prod and take a look at you and decide on whether or not you are worthy to be a part of their NFL franchise. Well, because today is the workouts for the quarterbacks tonight, prime time. If you want to check me out on SiriusXM NFL Radio tonight. I will be on the call for all the primetime workouts by the quarterbacks this evening from 4 to 8 Pacific, Channel 88. And we're going to be talking about a youngster, Kenny Pickett. And I thought this would be a neat opportunity to kind of what we come away from this is usually measurements. You know, the interview process has become much more. You're in front of the media, you talk. But the measurements and then your workout in your underwear out there, throwing against nobody, against air, where you can cork one for 100 and uncork one for 70 yards down the field ball, and everybody go ooh and ah and everything like that. So here we decided to take a couple quarterbacks and put the comparison together in terms of a lot of this kind of testing. We were waiting on Kenny Pickett's hand size and how you would, if you were a general manager. I mean, you have so many more variables to. But back in the day, a lot of people that were finding out these measurements didn't have Twitter, didn't have social media, right? So they got the news, right? And they looked at this. Mm-hmm. Let me know what you guys think about these two comparisons. So we have the shadow guy in his final year in college, threw for, 3,968 yards. Mm-hmm. All right. Kenny Pickett, 4,319. Woo! Touchdowns, 42-34. Nine interceptions and 11 interceptions. Size 6'6", 6'3". Weight 235, 217. And measurements like we talked about, arm length 34 and 30 and 5/8. And then, of course, the hand size 10.5 inches versus 8.5 inches.
My man on the left's got some beef.
He's a big dude. He's a big dude. It kind of sounds like Carson Strong to me from Nevada. Mm. And so Let's reveal who the questionable individual is there.
Hey. 1990.
I look like a prospect.
I mean, you'd be nice in this draft.
All right. Some of the measurements that weren't put on there because it's doubtful that Kenny Pickett will do it. I don't know when he will. I benched 225 16 times.
Nice.
Okay.
My vertical was 36.
Okay. Oh. That explains the 360 windmill.
360 twice Jim. That's the drain that level. Who's the man?
My 40 was a 478. So, decent.
Well, yeah. Is that average? I don't know what the average quarterback 40 time is.
I thought it was very good. I felt fast.
Yeah?
Yeah, I felt fast. I worked on it. It all comes down to the start.
Well, that's fast. Average QB 40 time is 4.93.
Okay, yeah. I had, you know, I was 6, and
in a 240-pound QB.
Yeah.
Is that what you were?
Yeah.
It said, yeah.
Athletic is, I think, the word for it. So, as you can see, everybody, the measurements from the combine don't necessarily lead you to success in the NFL. I will say this, right? The lack of love for the NFL and was not there. I loved every minute of it up until I didn't, right? And I wanted to play and I wanted to do well and I wanted all that success. I wanted all those things. I just wasn't able to achieve them. And I could test out of the room, right? Start from when I was just a kid all the way up. I was bigger, I was stronger, I was faster, I was more athletic. It always complimented me, regardless of my behavior. So I think with what the combine has become, and it's become this real pressure cooker in terms of what they have to do on and on around interviews, you know, the testing. I did like Rachel Bonetta's point around how they're trying to make it more of a game atmosphere. I think that can really up the adrenaline of these players, especially around the 40, right?
Yeah,
or some of the shuttles and things like that. It really can give you some extra hype, because I remember just how cold, how quiet, how sterile it was when I was there. Yeah. And I wasn't working out. Like, Peyton and I knew we were going to be the number one or number two overall picks. It was inevitable. So neither of us worked out or did anything there other than weigh in and do some interviews. We were going to do our workout at our universities our later in the year. And I think mine was around April 3rd of that season. And so that's what – and I think that's the best way to do it, because you're throwing to all the guys you know. Coach Price had a great idea on my pro day. He trotted out my 5 wide receivers – who were exceptionally talented and good, but weren't getting a lot of looks because, you know, they each had, I split it up so well. I spread it around so much that everybody had a bunch of catches. Everybody had a bunch of touchdowns. There was no guy that just leapt off the page, though they were incredibly talented. So Coach put them all in their jerseys, ran them out, and they ran their route tree for me. The coaches and GMs were there to see me, of course, but now they got a chance to see all these wide receivers. They had their jerseys on with their names on it.
That's cool.
And sure enough, it opened up a couple opportunities. I believe Kevin McKenzie, my slot wide receiver, as well as Chris Jackson, both got opportunities in the NFL. In fact, Chris Jackson went on to be one of the best offensive wide receivers in the Arena Football League. And another one, Sean McWashington, he got a great chance too with the Kansas City Chiefs. So, I mean, It opened up some doors for those guys because they were so good, so talented. They made me who I was playing in college football for sure. So there's many of opportunity. The biggest takeaway from that interesting side-by-side with the unknown versus Kenny Pickett, it doesn't matter, all right? You showcase what you're capable of doing. Now can you do it at the next level? And your hand size, though beneficial sometimes, doesn't necessarily lead to success or wins, right? It is your ability to lead as a leader. It's your ability to understand and then filtrate that information quickly against the best defenses in the world. And ultimately, how do you deal with failure? I would argue that Kenny Pickett has gone through some pretty lows, pretty much a lot of lows while in college, right, at Pittsburgh, right? You know, years where they were really down, whether or not he was the answer for them. And then for them to come and win a championship this year and to do it in the style, it's very reminiscent of how we did and got to a championship and put ourselves in that position. So I wish him nothing but success. I think people a lot of times want me or believe I want there to be a next bust out there, right? Somebody who comes along and kind of takes the mantle from me. That could be further from the truth, right? A funny way to look at it is I'm incredibly competitive, right? I'm so competitive. I'm the biggest bust, all right? We can disagree on that one.
Nobody is taking that away
from
you.
No one's taking that mantle from me, all right?
I'm going to disagree. I don't believe you have that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Well, guess what, guys? It's the name of my podcast, so we're going in that direction, all right? See, it's a marketing tool.
Yeah, second worst bust. Doesn't have the same ring to it.
We just tried to put a positive spin on it, Chris. And you know.
I appreciate that. I don't think there really is. I think the word bust is there's anybody who played.
If you made it to that level,
if you're one of 27,000, if you're one of 27,000, I get the idea that so much was put into it. And sometimes I have.
Where did that word even come from?
That's a great question.
I don't know.
You know, people talk about the origins of words. Like we use upset for when a team that's not expected to win.
How did that come about?
It was actually from a horse race like 100 years ago. The horse's name was Upset. And it won a dramatic race. And so that just became the thing people said.
Wow.
But I don't know the origin of the word bust. Like, who used it first? Who were they talking about? It's something that's not really well known. I'm sure a quick Google search may tell me, but it's not something I know off the top of my head.
You know, probably would have been a good idea to invest time in understanding what the word means and where it came from on my podcast. Yet I didn't do that. You're a wonderful producer.
I mean, you needed me clearly.
I needed you, Kevin Connolly. Connolly, what do you know, right? What do you know? What's going on? So the idea that I'm one of 27,000, right? But I also understand like the expectations, right? When you're drafted second overall, and a franchise trades so much, that really isn't on you, right? The franchise does that. You get kind of saddled with all that baggage that goes with it. You're saddled with that, regardless of where you're at, right? Brian Griese, he beat us in that Rose Bowl, and he would go on and get drafted, I think, I forget how late, to the Denver Broncos, right? And he would back up John Elway for his first couple years. What an awesome opportunity to go sit behind a Hall of Famer.
Third round, Brian Griese.
There was a chance for that happening my rookie year. Kevin Gilbride was the head coach. He had coached, of course, Warren Moon down in Houston in his Oiler tenure. And there was a conversation around, okay, well, if Ryan's going to start or if Ryan needs some time to develop, what's the best course of action? And I heard rumors. He was a client of my agent, Lee Steinberg's. And I thought Warren Moon was going to come in and ultimately be my mentor and tutor.
Wow.
And instead, it got, I don't know where it got squashed or where the conversation went from there, but the decision then was to only keep two quarterbacks on the roster. Me and a guy named Craig Wheelahan, who played at the University of the Pacific and really had no experience. And away we went in my rookie year. So, for as many mistakes as I made, I mean, if you look back and filter through it in a fine-tooth comb about roster decisions, coaching decisions, you know, they fired Kevin Gilbride in week five. Like, him and I had developed a good relationship, right? He was very similar to Mike Price. We could argue, we could yell at each other, we had respect for one another. I felt like I understood what he wanted me to do and accomplish. And, you know, we started the season 2-3. And they fired him. He wasn't really well liked by the media, and that had pushed some distance between him and ownership. And it was quick and it's swift, right? And June Jones, who had been brought in just that year, was made interim head coach, but ultimately would leave in the next year. So, I mean, there's so much that you can go back and tackle or unpack when it comes to my downfall, right? I never want to take away from my accountability in it, right? It's no matter what. Bottom line, no matter what, it was what I did. I couldn't control what anybody else did. Coach Cliche from yesterday, by the way. Mm-hmm. Can't control what I can't control, everybody.
I can only control what I can control.
Only can control what I can control.
Look, Ryan, I don't have a crystal ball, okay? I can't see into the future and just conjure things up. In reality, it just is what it is. And we may not live to see tomorrow, so you better enjoy today.
I actually had a crystal ball back in 1998. And I saw, I saw 16... 17, 18 years of football in San Diego with a couple Super Bowl parades.
Great. Gold jacket maybe at the end?
Probably, you know. But that crystal ball was screwed up, man. It's full of
crap.
Full of leftover bong juice and crap and I don't know what else. It didn't see the right future at all. It didn't see the glorious future that we all get to live in today. All right. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the combine, and then Rich is going to join us at the top of the hour to tell us everything that's going down in Indianapolis. All right. You're listening to The Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Leaf. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Leaf, filling in for Rich today.
Hey, Ryan.
Just found out, most likely going to be filling in tomorrow.
Hey, how about them apples?
You thought that the Mike McDaniel triple play, who would have known me? We're talking about 3 days with Ryan.
Hey.
That's what we're talking about.
Booyah.
TJ Jefferson with us. We got Jason Feller and Chris Brockman. Chris, we got some callers checking in with us today.
Yeah,
what do they want to talk about?
We got a couple folks on the line. Let's go to line one. Phil in Rochester. What's up, Phil?
Hello, Mr. Ryan Leaf. A heartfelt thank you for sharing your story, good sir. I've heard you speak quite a few times, and you are a true ally to those wanting to change the narrative around what it means to have mental illness. It's been both my experience and observation that hearing and talking about personal experiences is the most effective treatment. It helps normalize the conversation and it lets us all know that we're not alone. Thank you so much for doing what you do. I'm a big fan of the human being that you become, and thank you, truly.
Thank you so much, Phil. I appreciate the call. It's incredibly meaningful. Again, I don't know if you guys noticed, but I saw myself in the screen and my immediately in comments of positivity, right? My body language just goes like, it's just foreign. It's just something in my head that was beat into me for so long that you are a piece of S, right? You are worthless. And so when you hear positivity things, it's still a tendency, and I have to be more open to that. And so appreciative, Phil. Thank you for taking the time to call in. I mean, somebody takes time out of their schedule just to call in and support somebody else who's trying to be a different person. So, Phil, thank you. Thank you so much. All right, Mr. Brockman, who else do we got?
Line two, Joe in Chicago wants to talk combine. What's up, Joe?
What's up, Joe?
Yeah, I'm Dr. Graziak here, and I've done a fair amount of research on why do offensive linemen false start. And listen to you speak, Ryan, about, you know, you're the tallest and the fastest and could jump the highest, yet the outcomes were something that you're disappointed, honestly. But I'd propose that the combine look at different metrics other than the traditional ones they do about running the fastest, jumping the highest, and look at some things that are malleable, like perceptual cognitive skills. I did research. We did about 200 offensive linemen of why they false start, and we looked at perceptual cognitive skills. We looked at their personality traits. We looked at their IQ and so forth. And there's generally a tendency that there's a profile, and perceptual cognitive skills, they're a predictor, and they can be malleable. They can be trained to. And so I would propose that not only do you use those elements like they do in the combine, but complement them with some other analytics to support their cause. Because your story, Tom Brady's story, Joe Montana's story, probably not the best stats going into the combine, but look at their outcomes.
Yeah, definitely. Have you you're in Chicago there. I mean, you sound pretty informed. Have you taken this to the Chicago Bears? That's the bigger question in all this.
Yeah, we approached the Bears to do the analysis, our study. We did 14 teams total, about 200 players. We did Michigan, Michigan State, Duke, North Carolina, Tennessee, Texas A&M, TCU was in the study, and then a number of D2 and D3 schools. So we're only at the college level. Would have loved to break into the NFL. We've broken into U.S. military special ops, SEAL Team 6 and so forth, so they don't target the wrong guy when they're in a dark room. And so we've assessed those military folks, but would have loved to break into the NFL to do the analysis, but we did it with primarily D1, 2, and 3 players.
Wow, it sounds very informative and truly something that can be need to be looked at. So thanks for the call. Appreciate that. What do you guys think around the cognitive behavior side of it, right? The cognitive thinking. How could you test for this, right? I think for the longest time, people used the Wonderlic for this, and now the pressurized capsule of the interview process is kind of that. But I mean, there really is some behavioral and cognitive ways to go about some testing while you're here around the medical side of all this.
It just seems like now they don't do the Wonderlic anymore. It was kind of silly, I think, kind of to begin with, but now it's in the interview process, like you mentioned, just throwing out the random questions, kind of the randomness of it all that have really nothing to do with football. You know, we've heard over the years guys tell us some of the goofiest stories, goofiest questions that they get asked in these things. Really just to see if you're on your toes. Are you able to kind of think and come up with something on the fly? I got to imagine that the answers don't really matter to the people asking the questions. It's just kind of, how do they react in the moment? What do they, body language, those type of issues. It's more just kind of a test or an exercise in, you know, reacting to the unexpected, which is kind of what a football game is. It's controlled chaos that only lasts about 6 to 8 seconds. So that's kind of how I see it.
I'm trying to think back to my experience at the Combine.
Do you remember any of the goofy questions that got asked of you in the interview process?
That's the biggest thing in all of this. Like it was such a for sure deal. People forget this because it's been so far removed of Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf.
It's been almost 25 years now.
It was a can't miss. You're getting either one of them that are ultimately going to play each other in AFC championships the rest of their career. Right, that's what it was. Like, there was a ton of expectation on us both to be extremely successful. And in fact, a lot of people thought I was going to be more successful because I was more physically talented. So I don't think anybody dared ask the questions. Like, the things I think about now, and I told you about some of these yesterday, right? Why weren't you a captain on your football team in college? You were the quarterback. I mean, sometimes if you're just the quarterback, they put the C on your chest.
Yeah.
Right? There's something to say about that. There really is. Now, we only had two captains, so it was...
I say, why weren't you? Is there an answer?
I just don't think that I was... I don't know if there's an easy answer. I was a jerk. I was arrogant. Maybe that's the best way to put it. And my teammates just, though they wanted me on the football field on Saturdays and respected me, they did make me the captain for the Rose Bowl, which I thought was...
That's pretty amazing
opportunity. But
and
I
did
been.
Touch on the fact that they did come to your birthday party.
They did come to my birthday party. But that was after I became a millionaire, so maybe that's not...
They all wanted that Vegas trip after the draft.
They got to be a part of it, though. They got to be a part of that Vegas trip. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But when we come back, we're going to listen to Rich